Well, I'm glad to see each of you here this evening. I certainly come in anticipation of our brother's message this night. I wanted to say that I was thankful for the service we had this morning and for each of your participation in it. And I felt uplifted by it. And I find it, I won't say strange or funny, but, you know, some there's obviously less people here. There's a lot of people at conference, you know. And yet this handful of people can still have a three-hour-plus prayer service and a testimony service. And I felt the Lord's Spirit present, and I was thankful for that. I'd like to welcome, of course, all those that are live streaming, that hopefully they can get the signal. I've been hearing that there's some difficulty there, so hopefully they're able to. And I'm thankful for this young fellow that's sitting behind me. You know, we have in the Church of Christ a lot of dads, a lot of uncles that may not be born in our family. And, of course, you all know that this is one of my dads. And I, first of all, I wish I wasn't such a ball baby in life. I know that we have physical dads, and we have spiritual dads. And in many ways, he's both to me. And I know that many of you look at him the same. And so I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for his willingness to stand up here. And maybe we ought to get him a chair. I don't know. stand up here with his knees hurting him and a struggle, certainly, but I'm thankful for it. And so I'm going to let you have him, brother and elder Jim Yates, Sr.
Thank you, Andy. Not often that you get an introduction like that. And I appreciate it very much. I have a introduction from my notes here for tonight's sermon. I've entitled it God's Love for Mankind. And as I go through, I'm sure that all of us will be able to, maybe if we even have to read between the lines of God's love for mankind. I'd like to start this evening with in Genesis, first chapter, verse 26 and 27, and the first few words in verse 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then that first part in verse 28 says, and God blessed them. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. And he put the man there, whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When we read these verses, it's plain to see that God cared for and loved the man that he created out of the dust and put him in a special place that he had created just for man. Let's go to Genesis 2, 15 and 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou may eat freely, or freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And in the third verse there, in the third chapter, it says that you don't neither touch it, or you'll die. Didn't have to eat it, just touch it. We keep reading. We see that man didn't pay too close to attention to what the Lord God said. So he was cast out of the garden. Genesis 3, 23 and 24. As therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming swords which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And as we read, it seems like everything went downhill from that point of time for mankind. Genesis 6. Let's start in the fifth verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart, at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. But as we keep reading, we find there was a man by the name of Noah. And it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Go down to 11th verse. The earth also was corrupted before the God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. We know the rest of that story of what happened at the time of the flood. Let's stay in Genesis and go on to the 11th chapter, and we come to the story of the Tower of Babel. And the whole earth was, starting in the first verse, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to. They didn't speak too good English, did they? Go to. Let us make brick and burn it thoroughly. And they made brick from stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to. Let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into the heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, the whole earth. They was already predicting what was going to happen to them, didn't they? And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain from them which they have imagined to do. Let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it was called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. When we read this, we know that the Lord was very displeased about the tower. And so he could have done a lot of things, but he just confounded their language so that they couldn't converse with each other. You can't converse with each other, you're not going to do much building. Now let's stay in Genesis and go to chapter 37. Going to start in the 23rd verse. And it came to pass when Joseph who has come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, carrying it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brother, what profit is there in it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph up out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. Here we read an odd story of God's love for the house of Israel. He allows a brother to sell a brother because of their jealousy of Joseph, was their father's favorite, not knowing at the time that there would be a famine that would cover the whole earth. When Joseph's elder brother sold him, they didn't know that in the future it would be their brother Joseph who would save all the lives of the house of Israel from starvation. God works in mysterious ways, using a brother sold ultimately to save the whole house of Israel. Because of God's love for the house of Israel, this was God's plan. In the scriptures, we see that man constantly slips and falls backwards into that broad way of destruction. And he needs help to get back on that straight and narrow way. So again, God's love is there to help. He sent prophets to help show the way back to where mankind belonged. Sometimes it worked, and sometimes it didn't. No matter how hard and how long they tried. And mankind suffered all kinds of problems because they wouldn't listen to the prophets of God. And he sent them specially to guide them. The same holds truth with us today, and it's going to cost us, because we drift too much. There are many scriptures that tell of God's continued love for mankind. Isaiah, one of God's prophets, said in Isaiah 9:6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And you go to Matthew, first chapter, 21st and 23rd verse, speaking of Mary, and she brought forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted means God with us. These two scriptures prophesy of the coming of Jesus. In chapter 1 of Mark, it tells us of his baptism and his beginning of his ministry. So we know without a shadow of doubt that he was born. And he was here. The scriptures, as we read them, teach us of Jesus' love for mankind. Love thy neighbor. Love thy enemy. Love thy mother and father. It goes on and on. He raised the dead. He healed all kinds of afflictions. The deaf, the blind, the lame, the lepers. He did all of this out of his love for mankind. In Matthew 19, we read of his love for the little children. 13 and 14. Then there they brought forth unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is of the kingdom of heaven. Go to Matthew 18. Going to read verses 6 and 10. And Jesus tells us this in these verses. So we know exactly of his love for the little ones. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him to have a millstone hanged about his neck, and then he was dropped in the depth of the sea. Verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. It also tells us that his Father, God the Father, loves the little ones. Now let's go back in time to the tower again, about 2200 B.C. Let's go into the ether in the Book of Mormon. Page 714. I'm going to read verse 5 and then drop down to verse 7. But behold, I give not a full account, but part of the account I give from the tower down until the time they were destroyed. And on this wise I do give the account. Verse 7. Which Jared came forth with his brother and their families, with some others of their families, from the great tower, at the time of the Lord confounded the language of the people, and sware in his wrath that they should be scattered upon the face, all the face of the earth, according to the word of the Lord, the people were scattered. And the brother of Jared, being a large and mighty man, being a man highly favored of the Lord, where Jared his brother said unto him, cry unto the Lord, that they may not confound us, that we may not understand our words. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord, and the Lord had compassion upon Jared, and therefore he did not confound the language of Jared, and Jared and his brother were not confounded. Then Jared said unto his brother, cry unto the Lord, and it may be that he will turn away his anger from them which be our friends, and that he confound not their language. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord, and the Lord had compassion upon their friends and their families, that they were not confounded. And it came to pass that Jared spake again unto his brother, saying, go and inquire of the Lord whether he will drive us out of the land. And if he will drive us out of the land, cry unto him whither we will go, shall go. And who knoweth but the Lord will carry us unto the land which is choice above all the earth. And if it so be, let us be faithful unto the Lord, that we may receive it for our inheritance. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord according to that which had been spoken by the mouth of Jared. And it came to pass that the Lord did hear the brother of Jared and had compassion upon him and said unto him, go to and gather thy flocks, both male and female of every kind, and also the seed of the earth of every kind, that thy family, and also thy Jared, thy brother, and his family, and also thy friends and their families, and the friends of Jared and their families. And when they had done this, thou shalt go at the head of them down the valley, which is northward. And there I will meet thee, and I will go before thee into a land which is choice above all the land of the earth. showing these people their love, his love and his Father's love for them, because they endeavored to do those things that he wanted them to do. Now let's go down to verse 25. First chapter. And it came to pass that when they had come down to the valley of Nimrod, the Lord came down and talked with brother of Jared, and he was in a cloud. And the brother of Jared saw him not. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded them that they should go forth into the wilderness, yea, into that corner, that quarter, where never man had been. And it came to pass that the Lord did go before them and did talk with them as he stood in the cloud and gave directions whether they should travel. And it came to pass that they did travel in the wilderness and did build barges in which they crossed the many waters, being directed continually by the hand of the Lord. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but that they should come forth unto the land of promise, which was a choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And he swore in his wrath unto God, the brother of Jared, that those who should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or else they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath came upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath comes upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they ripen in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he who that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is an everlasting decree of God. And this is not to be in the fullness of it until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land, that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent, and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven. For they will but serve the land, the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written. Choice land. That's the land that you and I live on, the Americas. God's word does not change. And the decrees that the Lord told the brother of Jared concerning this land are still in effect. It's just as if he said them yesterday. Let's go to 3 Nephi. Page 648. I'm going to start in the 8th chapter. Sixth verse. And we're going to see here that Jesus teaching the people here when he came here after his crucifixion. He taught them with the same love that he taught in Jerusalem. Verse 6. And he saith unto him, Behold, my bowels are filled with compassion towards you. Have ye any sick and afflicted, any sick among you, bring them hither. Have ye any that are lame, or blind, or halt, or maimed, or leprous, or that are withered, or are deaf, or that are afflicted in any manner, bring them hither, and I will heal them, for I have compassion upon you. My bowels were filled with mercy, for I perceive that ye desire that I should show unto you what I have done unto your brethren in Jerusalem. For I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. And it came to pass that when he had spoken, all the multitude with one accord did go forth with their sick, and they're afflicted, and they're lame, and they're blind, and they're dumb, and all that were afflicted in any manner. And he did heal them, every one that was brought forth unto him. And they did all, both they which had been healed and they which were whole bowed down at his feet and did worship him. And as many as could come, for the multitude did kiss his feet, inasmuch as they did bathe his feet with tears. Now you remember what we read in the Bible about his thoughts for the little ones. And it says here that he commanded that they bring forth their little ones to him. Verse 13. So they brought the little children and set them down on the ground around him. And Jesus stood in the midst, and the multitude gave way until they had been all brought unto him. Got a problem here somehow. Somebody got maxed my pages up. problems. How I got this messed up, I have no idea. But I know I can't find the page that I'm looking for. We'll forget that. We see in this reading, in this area, 3 Nephi, that when he called them to bring their little ones to him, he said once they brought them there in a big circle, he wept. And he prayed for the little ones. And after he had said his prayer, he said to them, look. And the angels come down out of heaven and surrounded those little ones and blessed them in a ring of fire. He loved them, blessed them, raised up their from their, all their afflictions, just like he did in Jerusalem, proving that God and his Son does not change, no matter where they're at. Now, I'd like to go back to Ether and read two verses again. It's on page 717. And I want to read these two verses because it applies to us. And it says, and this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles. That's us. That ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and do not continue in your iniquities until the fullness become, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of this land hitherto have done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation possesses it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which had been manifested by the things which I have written. I'm going to close with one big love, not yet mentioned. And as soon as I give you the scripture, you're going to know exactly what it is. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. A lot of religions say will not. There's a difference. But have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Even though God knew what the world was going to do to his Son, he cared enough for us, and still he sent his Son. And we can't ask for any greater love than that. Thank you.